of Miller Podcast, episode 46. Way late to the game, Gen Con recap.
Try and remember what happened at Gen Con.
Dude, it has been a busy summer for me. How are things with you?
Busy, but good.
Yeah, me too. I have
found lots of time for playing lots of games.
Dude, that is awesome. That is awesome. It has been a while. I apologize, listeners, for how long it takes. You know, I think when I dive into the exciting projects like making a podcast and starting a board game publishing company, I think I'm going to have more time than I do.
We're pod faded, but we're not pod dead.
Oh, whoa, man. That was poetic and deep. Speaking of poetic and deep, if you like R-rated movies, Straight Outta Compton is amazing. Okay, sorry.
I gotta see that.
Dude, it's so good, so good. Anyway, here we are. I'm Jason Katarski. And
I'm Andy Lennox.
Yeah, and we're so glad to be here with you. Last time we talked, it was in the throes of the Jurassic Attack campaign from Green Couch Games. And that was successfully funded, and it was right before Gen Con. And then it's been about a month since Gen Con, and a lot of people have been sharing their thoughts, sharing their stories, sharing their updates about the convention, and it was a good one. So we wanted to get in on the fun because we cover things from a little different angle, especially my tastes are all about those little games in between things. That's what our show is all about. But Andy's a different kind of gamer. We were both at the convention, but we didn't hang out a whole lot together. But we just wanted to kind of share some of the highlights with you and some games that we played and picked up, and we'll just go from there. It's good to be here with you guys again.
Yeah, first game that really like stands out as something that like we picked up and we're still playing, like we, meaning me and my gaming group, is Ashes. This is a really great little. It's a little game. Everything that you need comes in one box, and it takes about 15 minutes to play a game.
Really?
But there's and it comes with a bunch of pre-made decks for a bunch of different what they call Phoenixborn, which are these like magicians who are battling each other. It's a two-player battle card game. But we've been playing a lot of that. It's a really like fun game, very tight action kind of, like you get a couple of actions, your opponent gets a couple of actions. There's a lot of like really interesting rules that they pulled in from a lot of like more modern board games and added them to this like two-player battle customizable deck genre, and it plays really fast. It's really tight, and it's really fun. Usually the afterglow of a game that we have that we buy at Gen Con fades pretty quickly, but this one is sticking around with us, and we've been playing quite a bit.
That's awesome, dude. You know, is it kind of like a living card game kind of idea, or like a CCG feel?
Yeah, so it's by Plaid Hat Games, and if you're familiar with how they sort of did Summoner Wars,
oh, right.
Was
they
another
a bunch
one
of
the games.
Different factions that you can kind of add into the basic game and stuff.
Exactly, they're going to do the same kind of thing. They're just going to release a deck at a time and put those out. It's got a really neat dice system too, and the dice are really pretty.
Oh, that's
lots of different colors and funky symbols, and it's a little bit daunting at first because there's all these symbols and it's. Like there's card text after like a line of five symbols, and it's like, what are these crazy hieroglyphics? But you pick up on it really quick, and it's a good time.
That's cool. You know, it's those big thematic like fantasy style booths at Gen Con that I typically just walk right by, but everybody was talking about this game. A lot of people were playing this game, and Plaid Hat, they get that stuff right, you know, like they have such good looking games in that genre.
It is gorgeous. The art is from the same person who did the art for Dead of Winter, and it's all like, it's sort of like a weird, there's like a fantasy vibe to it, but it also looks like Gaslight 1920s kind of stuff too, and it's magic, so the world is pretty intriguing. I don't know much about it because I don't think there's much to know yet, but the art's amazing.
Sweet, dude. That's awesome. One of the first games I picked up at Gen Con and the first ones I got to the table in the evening was a game that Tasty Minstrel just put out by a designer named Chen Chifan. And it was a game that came out of the Japanese, the Tokyo game market scene where they do these cool little games and have this really kind of like maker community of small games. And it's called Flip City. And it's like a little mini deck builder. It's like 90 cards, and it's all about expanding and renovating your neighborhood. Like, so you start with just a few cards in your hand. It's almost a hand building card, and it's got this cool like deck building pressure luck element. So you're trying to get to a certain number of symbols that are played on one card, like victory point mm-hmm. symbols. If you get 18 points on one turn, or no, I'm sorry. These numbers are wrong because it's been a minute since I played it. But if you play a certain number of cards on your turn that just consistently, so like if you play a really big combo or reveal a certain amount of victory points, you win the game. And so on your turn, you like reveal a symbol that has some money on it, and you can use that money to either buy a new card or upgrade a card in your discard pile by flipping it to the other side. So like all the cards are two-sided and they have like a better ability on the back. And it's just a really quick, clever kind of deck building game. The pressure luck element comes where if you have a certain amount of sad faces, if the people in your city are dissatisfied, then your turn ends immediately. So you're like, I need a little bit more money so I can do what I really want. So I'm going to reveal one more card, and then boom, too many smiley faces. There's a couple cards that are
too much road construction. You're blocking traffic. Everyone hates you.
Totally. That's exactly it, dude. But there's some cards that are like, the big pressure luck thing there's a card that says you must reveal this card if it's on the top of your deck. So like you have to play a card, and if you have to play a card and then one below it is got a frowny face, dude, you're done for your turn and you hadn't made any progress. So it's a really cool little engine building, deck building thing that has really charming art too.
I heard a lot of people raving about this, and I like watched some videos about it. I like how the art, like when you put the cards side by side, they make like this isometric looking grid, like, and it looks like SimCity.
Yeah,
but
totally.
The like streets line up. It's like really neat looking.
Yeah, it's really great looking. And Adam McIver too. He updated it for the localized for the US version. Did some of the graphic design stuff, but the art is that cool.
Of course he did.
Of course he did. Adam McIver does all the cool things.
If a game looks good, it probably has his name on it.
Totally.
What else did you play?
What else did I play?
I played. So I back a couple weeks back, I backed maybe months now. I backed a game called Epic, which is by White Wizard Games. They put out Star Realms.
Oh yeah.
Epic was like sort of a re-release of an old, like they're redoing some old CCG. But they totally overhauled it, did lots of interesting things with it. And I got to demo it. There was like, you pay tickets to like sit there and demo and get promo cards. So we ended up demoing it for an hour and a half because we were having so much fun.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So like a game. So to put that in perspective, a game of this game takes about 10 to 15 minutes. It's really fast.
Oh, wow, dude.
But it's a deck building, you know, two-player battle card game. You're going to notice a theme here. But the game is really interesting in that every card, like, so on your turn, you get one gold coin. And all the cards are either free or they cost one gold coin. And you get a gold coin on your turn and a gold coin on your opponent's turn. And so it doesn't matter what you do. It's just going to either cost you your gold coin or there's going to be or you're going to play a card for free. And so there's no ramping up of resources, which is very common for like these types of games. It's just you play, like you can play the best card in the game. You can play it, like, for example, you start with 30 life. One of the cards that one of the promo cards that we got is a monster that can do 30 damage when it attacks. So on first turn you can play this. The interesting thing is that every single card in the game is completely broken, seemingly. So it like has this very swingy, back and forth, fun, like balance kind of thing going on to it. And we didn't get to do any deck building. Obviously, we just were playing with the pre-made decks that they had there. But we had a lot of fun with that. We were playing over and over and over, and we didn't leave until they kicked us out. Yeah,
that's awesome, dude.
Yeah, so that one's coming out soon.
Do you like it better than Star Realms?
Yeah, I do. It's more my speed. I like I definitely like the building, like, you know, outside of the game building aspect to these things, where, because I don't have as regular of a game night as I'd like. So sometimes when I'm thinking about games, I like to fiddle with my game components and do something productive with them. And, you know, building a deck is always a good time. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
I'll have to check that one out. Another one I played was also, it was a two-player game, one I picked up from Portal Games called Tides of Time.
I also bought this.
Did you buy that? Have you played
yes.
it?
Yes.
Dude, it's an 18-card micro game.
I am like, terrible at this game.
Oh, dude, it's...
I lose so hard to everybody I play. For some reason, this one just breaks my head. It's awesome and a lot of fun, but...
Yeah, like, you know, drafting doesn't always work super good with two-player games, but, like, that's what this makes this game so awesome. It's like, it's these 18 cards. You each have cards. You choose one. You pass them. You know exactly what you're passing. You know exactly what they took because they play it face up. And it's all about building this civilization. And each card has its own kind of victory condition that's going to score. So, and it's based on the other cards that you end up with in your tableau, right? So, like, if you have the most of this color, then you're going to get this many points. So you're trying to get that color, but, like, your opponent knows you're trying to get that color. And
it's very tight and very thinky, and it's and it's a game where you have to sit there and think about every single possibility, but thinking about every single possibility doesn't take that long because there's not a ton going on,
right.
But it is very, like, very back and forth. There's a couple of, like, shoot the moon kind of cards in there that, like, if you're not careful, like, when you first play, it seems as if those are shoot the moon kind of conditions and that there's no way that your opponent can pull it off. Be warned that is not true. They can pull it off and they will trounce you every time. So
yeah. So cool though. And it's got these big tarot size cards. So, like, they really kind of take this micro game and make it feel like, I mean, the production is great. The art is great.
I would love a version of, like, Love Letter or something with those size cards. I'm really, like, really enjoying that size card for smaller games like this.
Yeah, they're super, super fun to play with. Another one I got, I tried it first at Gen Con, or at Origins, but it was released at Gen Con, and I was super excited about it when I played it. Eric Martin showed it to us, and it's called Why First. AEG put it out, and I don't think I've talked about this one on the show before. If I did, it wasn't very much, but it's just a silly little card game. There's a scoreboard that has it's like you're moving. You have a little mover that's trying to get a certain amount of points, and there's a negative track on it and a positive track on it. Everybody gets cards. Everybody chooses a card from their hand, and on the count of three, they slam that card in front of anybody at the table, and it's either a forward movement card, 1 to 4, 1 to 5, or a negative movement card. And the whole goal of the game after five or six rounds is that you get points only if it's a race game. You only get points if you're in second place. And overall, at the end of the game, you win the game if you're in second place. So you have to win some of the races to get some points to be a contender for being in second place at the end of the game. So it's a riot. And it's like this kind of, like, what am I going to do? Who am I going to shove all these cards on? And it's super quick and ridiculous fun.
Chris Kopak was telling me about this game, and, like, just the concept made me interested in it. Like, trying to be, like, every single race game has that problem of, like, yes, you just want to, yeah, of course I just want to go as fast as possible. There's no, like, intriguing back and forth. It's just a very straightforward, like, I want to be in first place all the time, right? That's a lot more of a weird kind of end goal. So I was really interested in trying that.
Super rad. Anything else you played?
Yeah, Star Trek 5-Year Mission.
Oh, yeah.
So this is like a cooperative dice game. It's very, like, because it's a Star Trek game, I think people sort of expect a little bit more oomph out of it, but it is very much like a light family co-op. It's very simple. You have three piles of threats, right? And there's blue, yellow, and red. The blue ones are very easy. The red ones are very hard, and the yellow ones are in between. You flip over some cards from each pile and you roll your dice and you try and place dice on the cards. If you can complete the cards, you're done. If you fail missions, as you fail missions, they go into a pile. If you fail enough missions, you're done. And some of the missions have victory points on them. If you get enough victory points, you win. It's really there. And what I, a few things I really like about it. One is that all the characters have pretty cool special abilities, and they all have, all the character boards have two sides. And on one side is the original series Star Trek, and on the other side is their next generation counterpart. So you've got like Captain Kirk, Captain Picard on one board. The promo was Wesley Crusher and Yeoman Rand, I think, but it was really funny. But it plays up to seven, I think, and it's just this really simple, like, fun dice game. Occasionally, there's cards that make you flip over a sand timer, and then you have to like complete that mission by the time the timer runs out, or else it's failed, which is really like adds a little bit of.
Nice.
Yeah, there's one card that says you can't communicate with, like, there's a communications failure and you can't like talk to the other people at the table. So, which makes it really hard because like there's a lot of cards out on the table. You can see like, oh, I need higher than a five on this one, and I need a blue one on this one, and I need any, you know. So there's a lot going on there, and there's not really a lot difficult about the game. You roll your dice, you place them, you try and complete the things. But when you can't communicate with each other, that makes it really hard. So I highly recommend that game, but just go into it knowing that this is like a family co-op. Play it with your kids, or play it with, you know, beer and pretzels, because that's kind of where that game sits.
Yeah, I played it at Protospiel. You were there too, didn't you?
Yeah, when it was like an Age of Sail kind of thing. And the whole time I'm thinking, the whole time I'm playing, I'm like, Age of Sail doesn't jive with this game so much. I wish it was like Star Trek or something cool.
Well, and that's awesome, because I mean, it was, I think at the time he had already signed it and knew it was going to be a Star Trek game. But he was really just fine tuning it, and I thought it was a fun game. But my problem with the game is it looks like it was made in 1995. Like,
it's definitely a Mayfair game.
Yeah, it looks like really low I don't know, low quality of graphic design, just bare bones. Looks like a prototype is the problem to me. Which maybe that fits because Star Trek is an old show, but like with the games.
Yeah, the 60s, it has the 60s sort of vibe on the original series cards, and it has the 90s kind of vibe on the. So it's not offensive to me. Like, I can ignore it.
Yeah.
But if you pay a lot of attention to it, it does kind of. Like, it could have been a lot more polished.
Well, yeah, you know, like, just sitting on the shelf next to, like, any other modern board game out there, it looks kind of like, oh, come on, this is like Mayfair.
Yeah.
You know, you guys are a big company, you should, and this is a huge IP, like, make it look great, you know, but
yeah.
that's just me being nitpicky and my personal preference.
You watch weird, like, sort of drab 90s design is going to come back in fashion and be retro, and then Mayfair is going to be rich.
Oh, yeah, they're going to be rich. Yeah. You mentioned Chris Kopech. I hung out with him quite a bit, and we...
Everybody did.
Dude, he's such a great guy to hang out with.
The, like, ambassador of all things gaming.
Well, we had this moment where we're like, let's get out of here, and we went and grabbed some food and went to his hotel room, and we played Wonky from USAopoly.
Yeah.
And did you see this one at the convention?
I did. It's like the cubes that are...
Yeah, like three sides are flat and three sides are curved, and there's three different sizes and three different colors and a deck of cards. And you have a deck of cards, and you're trying to get rid of your cards. You're just shedding the cards, and whoever sheds their cards first wins, or whoever puts the ninth block on the pile. But what you do is you play a card, and it tells you what block you're going to play. And you stack it on top of the blocks in the middle, and you want to put it in a very difficult manner so the next person is going to have a difficult time placing their block. But if you make it too difficult, it's coming back to you again soon. So it's just a silly little family dexterity game, and it comes in a ridiculous shaped box because it's wonky, so it's like not a square box. And there's some special action cards in it, and like light family play game, but super, super fun. And we just laughed, and like, and I played this game a ton with my kids, with my wife, with some friends, like since I've come back. So Why First and Wonky are probably two of the games that I play the most since Gen Con.
What about Lifted? Has that seen a lot of play?
Lift It, I've only played it once. And here's the thing about Lift It. So that's another ridiculous dexterity game where you have these little cranes that you either use in your hand or attach to your head or attach a crane between you and your partner's head,
Oh my
like with
goodness.
headbands. And you're doing these timed construction challenges where you have these different shaped, they kind of look like,
Tetris
yeah,
pieces.
Tetris pieces with holes in them and stuff, and you have this hook, right? And you're trying to build an illustration that's on a card in a certain amount of time. So in itself, you see that and like, wow, that looks like it's going to be ridiculously fun.
Yeah.
It was surprisingly difficult. Like it's really, really hard. I mean, and then the scoring part of it is just silly. Like you move around a track, and whatever space you land on, the next time you land on, the next time that tells you what you have to do. Either use the crane with your hand or with your head, or a team play, or a face-off against the other team. So I feel like the scoring is just it's like it like Telestrations. You got to come to this game with it just being an activity where you're gonna like see who can make the coolest structures the fastest, you know, like
Yeah.
so it was really fun for that, but it was so hard that like I thought I was gonna be able to play this with my kids, but I feel like my kids are just gonna get super frustrated,
Oh,
you
that's a
know,
bummer.
unless I like, you know, triple, quadruple the amount of time that they're allowed to, you know, and that's one way to do the handicap. We actually went right off the bat, we doubled the time allotment for each of these puzzles because it was just so hard. There's like there's no way we're gonna ever make any of these in this time frame that's on these cards. But yeah, I mean, really nice components, and it's a clever game, and I think it'll do well and see some more play. But you know, it's an activity. It's not a game kind of thing that
Gotcha.
feels like I'm gonna really get in there and go for it. I just wanna have some laughs with some friends.
Cool.
You got any more?
We didn't play at Gen Con, but I picked up, this is definitely not a filler, but it's Sherlock Holmes Consulting Detective. Have you heard
Ooh, I've seen it, but
of
I
this
don't know
game?
much about it. Yeah, I don't know much about it.
It's sort of like a choose your own a group choose your own adventure logic puzzle kind of thing. There's different case books and you read the case, and then there's a map of London, and then there's a directory. So you read the case, and then if you're like, oh, I want to go to the scene of the crime, so you look up the scene of the crime on the map, and then you go to that spot in the case book and you read the description of the scene of the crime. And then everybody's like taking notes and you're writing down names and you're like, all right, this person was there, so I'm gonna go interview that person. So you look that person up in the directory and you get some more clues. And you can at any time you can go to the coroner, you can go to Scotland Yard, you can go like talk to your contact who like feeds you information about Moriarty. And you kind of unravel this logic puzzle and story as you go through and you try and figure out who done it. At any time you say, all right, I'm ready. I think we know what's going on. And then you answer for four questions about the crime. And that gives you your score. Then there's four bonus questions that are just like weird little like things that were hidden in the story. Like one example was, how could Wiggins have made $10? And you're like, what? How could Wiggins have made $10? Well, it turns out in one of the scenes, he picks up an item. And then in the newspaper, which each case comes with a daily newspaper, in the newspaper, someone was like looking to buy that item for $10. So you had to like put these things together to get bonus points. But you answer the four questions, you flip it over, and then Sherlock Holmes comes in and tells you how much of an idiot you are for getting it completely wrong.
That's
And it'll
awesome.
say like Sherlock Holmes solved it in four moves. He went here, here, here. His score is 100 points. And every move you do over his, you get like negative points. So the first time we like solved the crime perfectly, but then we took so many moves that it dropped us down to like 5 points. And then the second one, we like didn't solve the crime and took a lot of moves. So we were like negative 100 points, but it was still a blast to play.
Wow, that sounds like a cool experience.
It's really fun. If we get to games soon, I'll bring it and you can check it out because it's really
Awesome.
awesome.
Yeah, I'd love that. So
So
like
like
wrapping up this
this
portion of the show, like do you have any other experiences that really stand out to you that weren't like specifically games you played from Gen Con?
Oh man. It was mostly games. We kind of have a lot of traditions for Gen Con now, and we kind of did all of those. We, you know, went to Kilroy's and partied there for the first night. And oh, I had a really good time with Matt Loomis. Me and him went to the beer tent on the first night, and we were just hanging out and talking and libating and getting crazy and having a good time. So it's sort of a blur, but the main thing that stands out is just like hanging out with friends. Like most of my memories are not of just of the game. They're of like the friends and like the funny things that we said. And it wasn't any one specific event. It's just this blur of friendship and fun.
Yeah, dude, that's totally awesome. Yeah, Ryan Cowler came in from California, the designer of Jurassic Tech, and this was his first big convention, and I hung out with him a lot, and I hung out with, you know, a lot of the usual suspects, but it was just a blast hanging out with people and playing games and chatting and trying to find good food, and yeah, it was really good. One of my overall favorite experiences was when I went up and I wanted to meet Ignacy Trevicek from Portal Games, and he asked if he could take his picture with me because he's really into my game Dead Drop. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, dude, I was like, yeah, you can totally take my picture.
Oh,
with you.
I totally didn't mention the highlight of the show.
Oh yeah?
And that was the Iron Design Challenge.
Oh yeah.
The Building the Game Iron Design Challenge. So last year I was a contestant, and it was just like sort of an ad hoc thing, and it was fun. And it was dumb. But this year I was a judge, and the whole thing was just pure entertainment. If you go to Gen Con, you have to go to the Iron Design Challenge next year, because both years have been great, and there's no reason to think that next year won't be great too. So,
and you got to look it up. Look up the Building the Game podcast. There's a video of it, and he wasn't just one of the Andy was a judge, but he was a judge alongside the Bruno Cathala.
Oh yeah, Bruno Cathala.
And TC Petty the Third too, but you know
that was really funny because he showed up and we were like, me, TC, and Bruno are talking, and he's like, I think maybe I made a mistake coming to this. We were like, you definitely made a mistake coming to this.
But he was hilarious and he right on cue, and yep. It was so fun.
And then at the end, he was like, I'm really glad I came to this. This is one of the highlights of the show for me. So he had a good time, which I was surprised and excited. But yeah, those guys are a blast, and they put on a really good show. So
yeah, so check, yeah, find that on YouTube or whatever, the Iron Design Challenge, the Building the Game guys. So super, super fun. Well, thanks for sharing a little bit about your Gen Con with me. And yeah. It was a good year for me. I kind of want to close just with a couple Green Couch Games updates, if that's cool.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so Best Treehouse Ever is the printing has completed, and it's going on a boat on September 12th, and we'll be making its way over. Dude, it turned out beautiful. I got one of the first production copies. I'm really, really happy with how it looks.
And, so gorgeous.
Super excited about that. And then Jurassic Tech, all the files have been submitted to the printer, which is also amazing. It was nice to kind of, you hurry up and you're like pouring over stuff and you submit it and you're like, whew, I can breathe for a minute. But I only breathed for like 1 minute because the very next day I launched our latest game, designed by Matt Wolf from Geek All Stars and designer of Wombat Rescue. It's called.
You've got them lined up, man.
Dude, you gotta keep busy while stuff's on a boat and it's taking forever to get to.
People,
you know, you don't want to just sit there and not do anything.
Cranking out these big games.
Yeah, so Avalanche at Yeti Mountain is on Kickstarter now. It's having a first good first couple of days. It's a quick race game.
I'm so glad you put my quote on the Kickstarter page.
Yeah, dude, I had to dig for that. I was like, Andy said something really cool about this game, so I had to like go back through your Twitter and find it. But yeah, like Avalanche is a fun simultaneous reveal, racing down a mountain away from an avalanche, trying to avoid the Yeti who wants to mess with your rocket powered skis that you invented. Like Adam McIver did artwork for it. Super fun. Lots of reviews, gameplay videos. There's a solo version of the game. There's some different variants all on the Kickstarter page. So I hope you guys will take a look at that. It's another game that's $16 in a small box, $16 plus shipping.
So fun and wacky and just strategic enough that when I lose, I know it's my own stupid fault. That was what it was.
Awesome. Yeah, dude. So Yeah, so that's going really well, and I'm having fun making games and sharing with people. So I would appreciate you guys just taking a look at it and seeing if it might be for you. There's a free print and play that you guys can try out if you want to and all that. And we'll probably get Matt Wolf on the show soon because Matt is a really cool guy, really good game designer, and he's into really quirky games. So he likes a lot of filler games and he likes meteor games too. So we'll
Did
have
you
lots
want
of
to
really cool stuff.
reveal the hot tub pizza party stretch goal?
No, I don't think the world is ready for that yet.
Don't think we can fit all these backers into a hot tub.
Well, for the right amount of money, we could, I think. I would sell out for a certain
Hot tub pizza
price.
party.
Cool. Well, hey, thank you guys for listening. We'll hopefully be back to you with more content again soon. Thanks for listening. As always, you can find me on Twitter at Jason Kotarski.
I'm at Andy underscore Lennox.
And you can find more great podcasts at dicetowernetwork.com. Thanks for listening. Get out there and play some great little games.